We see other Christians and they have dancing at their wedding, or we might want to pursue dancing as a hobby and we want to know if it's something that God approves of.
Welcome to the Strength in Truth podcast. Dancing. What does the Bible say about it? Listen on to a Bible study given at Bethel Strict Baptist Chapel, South Chard, England, on Sunday, the 21st of January, 2024.
The subject this afternoon is dancing. We've just read of incidents where there was dancing in the scriptures, and there are several places in which it is mentioned in the Bible. Now, with all these things, we need to consider what the Word of God says, and we need to consider what has God's favour and what is something that He disapproves of. And sometimes with these sorts of things, we can think that, well, if we don't do certain things, and if we keep ourselves from doing certain things, we can almost think that we're deserving salvation or deserving of God's favour. We can never deserve salvation through our own obedience. So why then, what is the reason that we should seek to follow God and seek to do what God approves of? Well, if we love the Lord, then surely we would want to do that which is pleasing to Him. Just the same as if we love somebody, we don't want to do the things that make them upset or that bring sorrow to them. And so the reason why we should want to do that which is pleasing to God is because we love Him. We don't buy a life of going to chapel and trying to follow what is right. We never, through the things we do, deserve salvation, but obedience should be through love, seeking to do what pleases the Lord. So when it comes to something like dancing, we might have many questions about it, and we see other Christians and they might have dancing at their wedding after it, or we might want to pursue dancing as a hobby and we want to know if it's something that God approves of or disapproves of, and whether it's God-honoring to do that. So, as with all things, and even if something isn't explicitly mentioned in Scripture, there are principles that we can take from God's Word, but dancing is mentioned in the Scriptures, and so it's worth us looking at the places where it is mentioned to see if we can draw from those things any principles about how we should approach this subject and what how we should view it. So the first, we haven't got time to go through them all, but the first example in the Bible that I want us to look at is in Exodus 15. So if you turn to Exodus 15 and you look at verse 30, it says, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And this was just after the Israelites had come out of Egypt and God had divided the sea and they'd walked through on dry land and they had been delivered from the Egyptians and the sea had covered the Egyptians that were following them. And so Miriam, the sister of Aaron, and says all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. So they were singing and praising God. We should notice here that it was all the women. We don't read that it was men and women dancing together. And they were praising God and what he'd done for them. And then the next example that I want us to look at is in 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 14. It says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Quite a few years before, the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, and then it had been in a man's house for a number of years. And so for all that time, the Ark of the Covenant was not with the Israelites. It was not there in the worship of God. It was hidden away. And David brought it back after all that time, back to Jerusalem. And David danced before the Lord in worship. And we read in verse 16 that, "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." And she was judged for despising him. And David's dancing here was in worship to the Lord. But again, we don't read that David was dancing with women or other women or his wives. In this instance, he was dancing in worship. So there's two examples of dancing as an act of worship in the Old Testament. But if we go to a very different example, which was in the chapter that we read, so in Exodus 32, now here Moses had been up in the mount, in Mount Sinai. He'd been there for 40 days and 40 nights, and God had told him exactly how he wanted to be worshipped. He'd given him all the details of how the tabernacle was to be built and how the priests were to serve in it and how things were to be done. And then he'd given him the Ten Commandments, those two tables of the law. But Moses was away so long, the Israelites started to think he disappeared and he wasn't going to come back. And they get restless and they think Moses has taken them into the wilderness and deserted them. And they get Aaron to make them a golden calf. And it seems like they wanted to go back to the way that things were in Egypt. That was the sort of worship that they had in Egypt. So the calf's made, and then they get up early in the morning. It seems like they were really eager to worship this golden calf. And they sacrifice, and then it says they sit down to eat and drink, and then they rose up to play. By the time Moses comes back down, there they are, all dancing. It says that they were naked, but they're doing really just what the heathen and pagan nations would do. They're dancing and shouting, and it's total idolatry, the total opposite of how God wished to be worshipped. And we see there in that chapter the condemnation that and the anger that God has against their sin here. And it seems that in this instance, there was the men and women were dancing together. It says the people rose up. Doesn't specifically mention just the women or the men. And there was idolatry in this dancing. The people had just gone back to the ways of Egypt and wanting to do things their own way. So there we have a very different example of dancing to the other two that I've already mentioned, Miriam and David. There's not so many references in the New Testament to dancing. There's one in Matthew 14, which is when the daughter of Herodias danced before Herod and his friends, and that eventually resulted in John the Baptist's head being brought to her in a charger. And the other instance is in the parable of the prodigal son, when the son returns, they celebrate the return of the son, and we read the other son, not the prodigal son, comes back to dancing and them celebrating. So it's just a few examples there of dancing in the scriptures. So what then can we take from these examples? The example of David dancing and Miriam, they were acts of worship, and they were not mixed dancing between men and women. And the one example that we do have of that was idolatry. And so even if we were not convinced that just by these examples that the mixed dancing between men and women who are not married was not in God's favor, we also have to consider that the Bible tells us to flee youthful lusts, and men and women dancing together, or even just women dancing in front of men, has a tendency to produce lust in people. And so the scriptures tell us to flee youthful lusts, and if we are just going into these things without a concern for that, then we're being careless. And with a lot of things, even subjects and different things that are not completely clear in the scriptures, it's always best to err on the side of caution. It's better to over-obey than to be really taking things as close to the wire as we can. If we love somebody, we don't want to be doing things unknowingly that offend them. Some people would look on these things as just being too strict, and it's only a bit of fun. But if we're seeking to follow the Lord and we're seeking to honor him and we're seeking to please him, then we would surely not want to be unknowingly doing something that is displeasing to him. And so surely it is better to be, even if we're not quite sure if something is right or wrong, if we're unsure, then surely it's better to not do it. And also to consider that Christians are to be in the world and not of the world. They are to be different, and they're not to be trying to stay as close to the world as possible. They are to be seeking to be separate.
Thanks for joining us today. Look out for the next episode soon. And remember to subscribe, like, or follow the podcast to get notified each time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're enjoying the podcast, then consider sharing it with your family and friends. That's all for this episode. So until next time, goodbye.